Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Good Samaritan Strikes Again by Patrick F. McManus, narrated by Norman Dietz. This work is copyrighted 1992 by Patrick F. McManus. This recording is copyrighted 1999 by Recorded Books. And now, The Good Samaritan Strikes Again.
The Worry Box. I have this theory that people possess a certain capacity for worry, no more, no less. It's as though a person has a little psychic box that he feels compelled to keep filled with worries. When one worry disappears from the box, he immediately replaces it with another worry. So the box is always full. He's never short of worries. If a new crop of worries comes in, the person sorts through the box for lesser worries and kicks them out until he has enough room for the new worries. The lesser worries just lie around on the floor until there's room in the box for them again, and then they're put back in. They're welcomed by the worries that have been in the box all the time. Hi, guys. Good to have you back. Boy, you should have seen the duds that just left, and they had the nerve to call themselves worries. For a while, I worried that my worry theory was flawed. I was talking to an old gentleman who gives every indication that his worry box is empty. Ed's 93. "Do you realize," I said to Ed the other day, hoping to worry him and thereby gain support for my theory, "that this new federal budget deficit will add another third of $1 trillion to the national debt? If this keeps on, by the year 2000, we'll be about $5 zillion in debt. How are we ever going to pay off a debt like that?" Ed chuckled and tapped the ash off his cigar.
"Beats me," he said, "but it ain't my worry."
"Yeah, sure," I said, "because you're an old geezer. But what about your great-grandchildren? They'll have to pay."
"Don't have any great-grandchildren. Got one that's fair to middling, but the rest ain't worth a dang. Serve the loafers right if they have to pay off the zillion-dollar debt. Put some grit into 'em."
"Well, and how about the banks and the S&Ls? They're dropping like flies. That has to worry you."
"Nope. Don't have no money."
"Here's a good one. Pollution is eating holes in the ozone layer, and within 25 years... Okay, forget that worry. Let's see. There's a lot of new sexually transmitted diseases, of course, but I suppose you're in a low-risk group."
"Ain't none lower."
"Yeah, but suppose you went to a dentist who had a deadly disease and..."
"No teeth."
"Right. You don't have to worry about your hair catching on fire either. You could get burglarized, though. How about that?"
"Got nothing to burgle."
I tried for another hour to worry Ed, but without success. He seemed pretty well to have knocked my worry theory in the head. "I have to leave now," I said irritably. "Just remember, I'm picking you up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning to go fishing."
"Good,"
he said.
"Who's driving the boat, Smokey Joe?"
"Joe can't make it. I'm driving the boat."
"Now that worries me."
I was elated. My theory was still intact. Ed had only one teeny-weeny worry, but one big enough to fill his worry box. He just had a teeny-weeny box. I, on the other hand, have a very large worry box. My wife, Bun, is one of my major suppliers of worries.
"What'd you do with the checkbook?"
she asks me.
"The checkbook. Is that monster loose again?"
I imagine, at that very moment, an escaped convict is picking it up off the sidewalk. Maybe he'll forge my name and deplete our checking account of every last penny. And after he has exhausted all our funds buying dope, he will come to our house, because the address is on the checks, and he and I will grapple with each other, and he will pull a knife and... "Oh," Bun will say, "here's the checkbook in my purse. Silly me. Now, what's wrong with you?"